Okay, welcome to class, everybody. Glad you're here. Sorry for the slight delay. But John 21 today, and let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for the afternoon. Help us to understand this last chapter of the Gospel of John. Help us to be encouraged by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi. Yes, we have just started, Jacob. Mrs. Grummer, go ahead and read verse 1, please, of John 21.
She's into it right now. We just kind of grew tight.
Oh, it's okay. I'm glad you ate.
Yeah, we
don't
have to eat, we do. That's
yes, that's right.
It's 21:1?
Yes, ma'am, that's right, 21:1. Mm-hmm.
Okay. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the inn of Tiberias, at the sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself.
There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, Didymus, and Nathanael of Galilee, Zebedee, and two others of the disciples.
Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing.
Okay.
But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus.
All right, you still there, Jacob? Jacob, lost everybody now. You still there, Jacob?
Oh, yes, sir. I figured there's somebody else on the line now.
Okay. Are you there now, Jacob?
Captain.
Jacob, are you there?
Well, actually, I'm there. I think that's kind of over. I cannot.
Okay.
All
right, Anna, what verse did you read?
Verse 4.
Verse 4. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. So, this is after the resurrection, of course, this passage here. It's after the resurrection. And they're here. Lord Jesus Christ is there in Tiberias. He showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, Mrs. Grummer, where was Nathanael from? Where was Nathanael from?
Canaan.
He was from Canaan. Canaan, which is in Galilee. And so, we have this dialogue that Peter has. He says, in verse 3, he says, I go a-fishing. He says, I go a-fishing. And so, when we look, they spent all night fishing, and we notice the text here tells us that they caught zero sheep. I mean, probably not sheep. They got, that would be really
hard to catch sheep.
It is hard to catch sheep. No sheep at all. They caught no sheep, and they didn't catch any fish either. They caught zero fish. And when they went fishing. And so, Jacob, where was the Lord Jesus Christ standing in the morning time in verse 4?
The shore.
He was standing right there on the shore. And, that's right. They didn't know it was the Lord Jesus Christ at the time. He was standing at the shore. And so, Bill, based on verse 5, who said, Children, have ye any meat?
Jesus.
Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was out there standing on the shore, he said, Children, have ye any meat? And, of course, they didn't. They caught nothing. No fish, nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Mrs. Grummer, go ahead and begin with verse 6, please. No, Kathy's not going to read.
Oh, okay. And the other disciples came in the little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes.
Okay, going to verse 9, please. 21:9.
So then
as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread.
Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught.
Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken.
Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. So again, the situation is they're toiling all night. They catch nothing. Lord Jesus Christ is standing on the shore, and he tells them to cast their nets on the other side of the right side of the ship. And when they did this, they were not able to draw in the net because the multitudes of fishes, they weren't able to draw it in. And we'll see later on how many fishes they actually caught. But Tammy, who told Peter the man on the shore was the Lord Jesus Christ?
John,
that's right. John, the disciple whom the Lord Jesus Christ loved. John was the one that told Peter it was the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when we notice the distance they were from shore, they were 200 cubits from shore. So, when we think of a cubit, the range of a cubit, ranges from 17 inches to 21 inches, depending on what source you look at. And basically, it's an average size of a cubit is 18 inches. Usually, it's from the tip of your elbow, from the bottom of your elbow to the tip of your finger is 18 inches. So when we have about a foot and a half, that's right, 1 foot and a half. And so it's easy using that model for a cubit, how far 200 cubits would be. 300 feet. That's the length of a football field, at least from goal line to goal line. 100 yards. 300 feet. Yes, Jacob. Is it 18 inches or 16 inches, Jacob?
18 inches.
It's 18 inches. Okay? So if you take your tape measure off, anyone have one that's clipped up the side of their belt? We could look at that. Kathy, you have your tape measure with you? I had one with me yesterday, but I don't have one with me today. But,
okay, one not far away.
Okay, Jacob has one there. So he's. Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. That's right. But the point of having this marked in the tape measure is when there's no wall to begin with. When you're building a wall, it's marked for you, so it makes it easy to find it. Or, like you said, they have the stud finder. When we have the cubic, 100 yards. Now, how far is 100 yards? How far is 300 feet? If we had to estimate, like from where I'm standing now, to there's a building across the street, that's probably 150 feet, maybe 200 feet, give or take.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit further than that. Now this is
the length of a football field.
Yes, it is the length of a football field. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is on the shore, and the disciples are out there in the boat trying to fish for fish, and they find nothing until he says, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and they couldn't draw it in because of the multitudes of fishes that were in the net. So, Anna,
mm-hmm.
A question from verse 9. Okay. What did the disciples see once they arrived at the beach?
Wasn't there fish cooking?
Yes. They saw there were fire coals, and there were fish laid thereon and bread. Again, we have laid, the transitive verb, and bread. So, although there was no fish that the disciples were able to catch all night, until the Lord Jesus Christ said, cast thy net on the right side of the ship, the Lord Jesus Christ had the fish already cooked. They were all cooked. They were cooking right there on the fire of coals. He has his own fish, right down the fire coals. And there are some that have said there's something, I think the word is cathartic, if I'm correct. Cathartic, you could correct me if I'm wrong. You've heard the word catharsis before? Cathartic, for Peter that is, when he comes to the shore and he sees his fire coals. Let's say that another way. There's some type of identification Peter has, some type of healing that he could have, because the last time he was at a fire, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps not the last time, but a previous time he was at a fire. Yes, the last time when the Lord Jesus Christ was around, he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this time, here's the fire coals again. And so, rather than saying, I know not the man, I know not the man, I know not the man three times, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to ask him three questions, the same three questions, essentially. No? Okay. Yes, there is subtle differences, you're right.
And there were subtle differences in the questions.
Yes, there were subtle differences in the previous questions, you're right, Anna. The love of the word for love is different. But we'll get there in a moment. We're going to have ourselves. We're in John chapter 21. Good to see you, Joanne. Let me give you one of these study guides for just a second here. Is that? Pardon
me?
Okay, that's fine. We'll give one more for dealing with it. So, we have, and so,
that was interesting the three times.
Yes, it is. We'll get there in a minute. We'll get there. And Anna astutely pointed out there was one time that he turned the word from love. He used a weaker word for love for this third question. The third question. We'll get there in a moment here. And Anna could give her comments about this particular verses in a moment. But we have here the Lord Jesus Christ tells them to bring the fish that they caught. He tells them to bring those fish that they caught. And Mrs. Grummer, a question from verse 11, how many fish in the net that Simon drew the land, how many fish were there?
153,
that's correct, 153. And what was something that was unique about that integrity of the net there, Jacob?
The net
breaks, huh? That's right. The net did not break. Now, the very fact to mention the fact that the net did not break means that the specs for this net probably were far lower than 153 fishes. In other words, the net should have broken. So, for number one, there weren't these men were experienced fishermen, and they weren't able to catch any fish. Yes,
unwillingly.
Okay, good. I got a study guide for you right there on the desk. These men were experienced fishermen, and yet they weren't able to catch any fish until the Lord Jesus Christ performed a miracle and said, put the net on the right side. And there's an abundance of fish. 153. Now, I've heard people go through great explanations of what 153, the significance of 153.
He's testing their obedience.
No, yes, he is. But I don't think there's any significance about 153. At least not to the extent that people say. Yes.
What do people say about 153?
Well, people say all sorts of things. They say it was 153. Let me see. It's not necessarily a prime number, is it? But it's you take a prime number. And you multiply it.
It's okay.
I mean, they have numerology. People that are into numerology may go to great lengths, and try to say, well, because you have. Okay, I have to get my calculator right here and see what 153 is. Yeah. He's like, I'm not saying. I'm saying there's not a significance to the number. There's not a significance to see. If you hear somebody talking about this great significance of 153,
I can't see. That's a lot of fish.
It is a lot of fish.
Depending on their size, that's a lot of pull on the net, which was not made out of nylon like
yes.
today.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. A lot of pull. Not made out of nylon. So 9 times 17. 9 times 17 is 153, right?
57.
Let me see. 9 times 17 equals 153. I failed to get this right when I was trying to do it in my head, so I had to use my calculator. 153. So now 9, 17 is a prime number, right?
I don't know.
There again, there is no significance in the number 153. There are people that make a big deal about this number.
It's not.
Okay, it's 9 times 17. Now, 17 is a prime number. 9, the square root of 9 is 3. Okay, so, you know, 3, you know, 3, you know, see, these numbers should be jumping out at you. Oh, I see it now. 3 times 3 times 17, the prime number, we got a 1, we got a 7. So, and see, 153. That's don't get caught up on this, the numerology of it, but the fact that the quantity of sheep, like Bill says, that's a lot of, pardon me, did I see sheep again?
Yes.
Hey, is
it
Chester there?
Yes, Jacob.
There's a fish called the sheephead.
Okay. Could have been a sheephead. But the fish that were in this net, and like Bill said, the material was used is not as strong as today's material. And so they drew it in, and the fact the net did not break was the significant thing. The fact of the quantity of sheep, yes, there's no numerical significance of that 153. But the fact that the net did not break, the fact that there was 153 fishes, that's something that is significant. Now, Jacob, what question did none of the disciples durst ask the Lord Jesus Christ?
Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord?
That's right. They did not ask that question. They knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ, so they didn't ask the question. Mrs. Gromer, go ahead and read verse 13. Kathy, is it possible to put that phone on mute for me, please? I can hear you talking to your customers, so put that phone on mute if you don't mind. That way, you can hear me, but I won't hear you. Go ahead, Mrs. Grummer, number 13.
Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise.
This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead.
So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs.
He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep.
Will you read mine for me? I can't see. Would you
read it, John?
Verse
17.
Go pick up verse 17.
He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not.
This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me.
Then Peter, turning about, see if the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? So, looking back here at verse 14, what the Lord Jesus Christ had prepared for the disciples was the bread and the fish. It was there on the fire of coals, this bread and this fish. And Bill? A question for verse 14. How many times the Lord Jesus Christ show himself to his disciples since his resurrection.
That was the third time.
That was the third time that he showed himself to the disciples since the resurrection. First time was in a prayer meeting when Thomas was absent. And then 8 days later, we have him coming again when the disciples are present. And this is the third time we have the Lord Jesus Christ showing himself unto the disciples. Now, when we look at this in verse 15, we see something that's taking place prior to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, asking Peter a question. They're dining. They're sitting down. He invites them. He says, come. He says, come and dine, in verse 15. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, after they had dined, the Lord Jesus Christ says, ask Peter the question. He says, this is the first question, number one. He says, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And the response that Peter had was, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. So, Mommy, verse 16, pardon me, Ed, I'll see this question, I'm sorry. Ed, in verse 16, what is the name of Peter's father? What is the name of his father? He says, what did you say, Jen?
Jonas,
that's right, son of Jonas. That's the name of the father, son of Jonas. And so, he's identifying him very specifically, and he's asked for so he could ask this question. He's asking him, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And we see in verse 17, we will note that the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter the same question three times. The question is, lovest thou me more than these? Now, like Anna pointed out, there's a slight difference in this question. And Andy, you want to elaborate on that difference, please?
Why me?
Because you're the one that pointed it out. What the point Anna is trying to communicate here is the first two times, the word for love is a very strong word for love. Which is what, Anna?
Agape.
And the
verse is that 16.
Go ahead, Anna.
But the answers are also
the answers are slightly different too, are they not?
And then the response to the answer.
And the response is different as well. So we have Peter responds, and the Lord Jesus Christ responds with another question, and so we have. The point of at the very conclusion, essentially the Lord Jesus Christ saying, do you like me? And he's not using that strong word agape for love. No. The word phileo is being used. Do you love me? Not the same strength of the word. Anna.
Well, Peter had kept answering with the phileo.
Yes. All the way through. Is that correct? All the way through. He was answering, yes. He was answering all the way through with a phileo. And so, when we look at verse 18, we notice what the Lord Jesus Christ says about Peter. He says, when thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee. And this he said this directly to Peter. He said this to directly to Peter. Now, in verse 19, Joanne, how did the Lord Jesus Christ say that Peter was going to glorify him? How was he going to glorify God?
By following him?
By following him, but as far as he said in verse 19, the specific death he was going to have. That's how he was going to glorify God. Yes, he would glorify God by following him, but specifically in verse 19, he said, this thing he signified by what death he should glorify God as far as he's going to stretch forth his hands. Probably indicating the fact of being prophetic as far as Peter was going to be crucified. That's a likely indication he was crucified. And we see that that's how he was going to glorify God by his death. By his death. That's how he was going to be, how he was going to be glorified. Now,
I have a question.
Yes.
Does it make any difference that that Jesus says in the verse 15 to feed my lambs, and then he says to feed his sheep in the next two verses? Lambs are baby sheep, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I mean, as far as the lambs and the sheep, I think there may be a small difference, but there's not a significant difference between those two things. But that's something we should look in deeper. But I don't think it's a significant grammatical difference between those two,
we're
sheep and the lambs. We are, yes. And that's right, we are, yes. And so is Jacob. Jacob?
I'm sorry, I was saying yes, sir.
Okay, that's good. I think the wrong person muted their phone, but I'm glad you got me, Jacob. What was your question?
Okay.
Someone here, Jacob.
Okay, I've heard that tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down.
That's tradition, yes. But the point is, definitely, it's not a stretch for us to say I stretched out of his hands is crucifixion. Yes, we know tradition indicates he didn't want to be. He didn't want to have a direct association with the Lord's death. He thought himself unworthy, according to the tradition, to be crucified in the same manner as the Lord Jesus Christ was. So he requested to be crucified upside down. But that's tradition. But the point being is his death glorified God. He was going to glorify God by his death. By his death. That's how he was going to glorify God. How the Lord God was glorified by his death?
Yeah, but
well, think how God is glorified, which we have. I didn't print that out. We have two people that we know of, directly or indirectly, that died this week. We have Tom McCormick's brother, and we have Mrs. Weber's sister. No, not Mrs. Weber. Joy Walnupper's sister.
Right.
Joy Walnupper's sister, and Tom McCormick's brother. Those two people have had siblings that have died this week. And so, when we have someone being glorified in their death, someone, as far as God, to be glorified, think at a memorial service, at a funeral service, at the death. You want to try to understand, what does this mean? How can God be glorified by us dying? In particular, in the method by which he died. But the point is, the more the persecution came upon the church, the more that the gospel spread. When we think about in the early church, we've been going into the book of Acts, prior to the death of Peter, when he was there, had the first 12 chapters of Acts, having his ministry predominantly being discussed, we see that God was glorified by the ministry that he had. Ministry that Peter had, probably that Paul had, God was glorified. And so here in this chapter here, verse 21 of John, when he talks about how he's going to glorify God by his death, just like for a moment now, think about the death of Stephen. Was God glorified with the death of Stephen?
Yes.
You know what did he say, Jacob? Right, upon his death, he said he saw heavens open, right?
Yeah, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God.
The Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So by the death of Stephen, we have an example of how it wasn't Stephen being glorified. It was God the Son being glorified. And so, by the death of Peter, whether it's crucified upside down, that's not the main point. But the point is what the scripture says. Christ said, he said this to signify by what death he should glorify God. In verse 19, This spake he, the voice happened, the voice said, verse 18, this spake he, that's he being the Lord Jesus Christ, spake he, signifying about what death he should glorify God. And when he said, and when he spoke in this, he saith unto him, follow me.
Peter followed Christ.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jacob.
You know, it reminded me of a couple of verses there, pointing out in Hebrews 11:35.
Yes.
Well, let me read 34. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, lack stallion and fight. Turn the flight of the armies of the aliens. Oil received their dead raised to life. That was Elisha. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, they might obtain a better resurrection. And I wrote about that in another place in Philippians 3:11.
Yes.
About a resurrection. So it was a glorifying God that we suffered for his, you know, for the gospel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or persecuted them.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good.
See that the blood of the martyrs is the seed that is the church.
Yes.
Saying, I think.
That's right. That's what the historians would say. That's true. Tammy, your thought.
I'm just looking at the last part of that verse 18. And it says, and another shall guard thee and carry thee, whether thou wouldest not. It seems like that's referring to, you know, the fact that he was going to be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't something that he would have chosen.
No.
But that's what God chose for him, and it was his responsibility to be obedient to the Lord's desire for him.
Yes. That's right. Go ahead. But
I was just trying to picture Peter hanging upside down on the cross. Upside down. How difficult. It's bad enough to be crucified right side up.
It is. Yeah. It is. Mm-hmm. That's right, Bill.
I was trying to figure out how that glorified God.
It what? Pardon me, Bill. It wasn't the method by which he died, it was his death. No matter, the Lord Jesus Christ could have said, Peter, you're going to glorify God by being boiled to death. You're going to glorify God by having your head chopped off. You're going to glorify God by, name all the different ways people could die. You know, all these different things. Yes, they did. And so it's not the specific way he was going to die. It's the fact that in his death, but Christ identified it specifically how he was going to die. You are going to that's going to glorify God. Glorify God. And so, I mean, just if you could picture, can you picture in right side up crucifixion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I just feel sorry for him.
Well, yes.
It's a terrible. Never mind.
Right. Any type of martyrdom is a. Part of a certain aspect of the martyrdom is a bad thing, is a horrible thing. But the overall point is Christ was saying, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, you're going to glorify God by your death. In both in life, we should try to glorify God in both in life and in death, living and dying. Anna. I may interrupt your thought, Bob. Sorry, go. What was your?
Right.
You remember it?
Yeah, we know from when Jesus was taken into custody that Peter was scared. He denied the Lord because of his fearfulness,
mm-hmm.
which we all would feel.
Yes.
You know, that is a particularly brutal way to die.
It is.
And the Lord telling him that he was going to die such a horrible death,
yes.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
He had to have strengthened Peter for him to accept that.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Tammy, I got a question for you from verse 20. Who is following the Lord Jesus Christ?
Who is following him?
Yes, in verse 20.
Well, he was following Peter too, wasn't he?
Yes, so that's right. Who is following Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ?
John.
That's right. So I was following. All right, let's pick it up with verse 21, Mrs. Grummer. 21.
Peter seeth him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?
Jesus saith unto him, if it will that he tarry till I come, to thee,
this way abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry, till I come. What is that to thee?
This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that this that his testimony is true.
There are also many other things which Jesus did, for which they should be written, every one. I suppose that even the Lord himself not contain the books that should be written on them.
Okay, so Anna, who asked the question? This is a question from verse 21. Who asked the question, Lord, what shall this man do?
Peter asked the question.
Okay. And who was he referencing, Mrs. Grammer? Who was he referencing? Who was Peter referencing? He was referencing John, right?
Oh, John.
Yeah, he was referencing John. And so, Jacob, what question did the Lord Jesus Christ ask Peter? From verse 22.
He asked him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me.
Right. And you see, this statement was misunderstood. They misunderstood that. They said, oh, then he means that John's not going to die until the Lord comes back. But that's not what he said. He says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So he's basically telling Peter, you know, it's none of your concern, Peter. Don't be concerned about what's going on with John. You know, be concerned with what you are supposed to do, what you're supposed to do. And Bill, in verse 23, what did some of the brethren wrongly conclude in verse 23?
Jesus would return before they would die.
Yeah, that's right. Jesus would return before John was going to die. And so Joanne, from verse 24, what do we know about the testimony that was written by the disciple? What do we know about this testimony?
That it's true.
That's right. That it's true. That's right. That is true. His testimony is true. And we notice here in verse 25, Mom, to what is the extent of books that could be written about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done?
If there were countless books, they could not tell all that Jesus had done while he was on earth.
That's right, it says the world itself could not contain the books. And when we think about books, the world itself could not contain the books. Not only the stuff, not only things that Jesus had done when he was on this earth, but things he's done prior to his coming to this earth, the things he's done since he left this earth. The world could not contain the books. Now, think of that. I mean, I know a library. You know, there's just one library. You know, easily. I mean, this is a relatively small library. Depends on what you compare it to. You know, some people have some pastors have a personal library of 10,000 books. Some colleges, small colleges, have a library of 50,000. Some little bigger college, Christian colleges, have 250,000 books. You know, but those are small libraries. You know. A library to have 1,000,000 books. Some larger, well-established colleges have well over 1,000,000 books in them.
Library of Congress.
The Library of Congress has 7,000,000 books. Mm-hmm. I don't have the number, but they have 7,000,000 books in the Library of Congress.
And they don't know anything about creation.
No, they don't. They know nothing about creation.
That's right.
And now, these are books, on most of them are about secular issues. I mean, yes, there's a section on theology, you know, the 900s or whatever, no, not the 900s, the 200s in the Dewey system and whatever the system is in the Library of Congress. There's sections, but as far as exclusively on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done,
the
world could not contain it. That's right, the world could not contain it. Just think of one building after another building. You have the skyscraper, you know, buildings, you know, the big as the Freedom Tower. If you know, Freedom Towers take up every square inch of the world with whatever, 100 stories, books after books after books, the world could not contain.
Just the names of all the stars in the universe.
Yes.
That would contain billions of books.
Mm-hmm. And so, the world. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So here, in the Gospel of John, 21 small chapters. 21 small chapters. There are things John himself, the Holy Spirit could have allowed John himself to pen. Now think of all the other disciples and apostles that could say, yes, this is what he's done. This is what he's done. We just have a small, very, very small sample of what Christ has done. But we have enough. We have exactly what he wants us to know. The plan of redemption. We have a history of the Jewish people. And the provision of the Messiah. The genuine identifying Messiah being the Lord Jesus Christ. It's adequate. What we have in our inner Bible about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done is adequate for us. This is what God wants us to have. We don't need any supplemental biblical material, extra biblical material. We just need the Word of God. Word of God. Did you have a question, Ed?
No.
Oh, Joanne, go ahead.
I was going to say, each of us that are as believers, he has a book on us telling us what he's done for us.
Yes, that's right.
I know what he's done for me.
That's right. Good, very good point. Each individual Christian, you know, he's done stuff for each one of us. You know, volumes and volumes of things he's done for us. Things we don't even realize.
Oh, I realize.
You know. Yeah. Well, you realize some of the things, Ed.
Yeah, I know.
But just think of those things you aren't even aware of.
I know.
You know.
I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, but yes, that's true. God has done wondrous works for you. He's done wondrous works for all of us. Has he not?
Yeah.
You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has.
Oh.
Yeah. So, more thoughts you have about chapter 21, Jake, Mrs. Grummer. What's some more thoughts you have about chapter 21? Or perhaps the entire book of John?
I keep thinking how fortunate, how blessed we are to have these words, to have this book.
Yes, we are. We are.
Yep.
We're living in a time when we can have the Word of God, in our own, and then we can read it. We're able to read it. It's in our own language. And there were different periods of church history where people weren't able to have a copy of God's Word in their own language. They may have not even been able to read themselves. Or it was very rare to have the Word of God. Dead.
Some cities, some countries never even heard about Jesus.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Some have never heard. Jacob, some thoughts you have about chapter 21.
I was thinking of a song that I heard that the lyrics, I don't remember, but maybe you can help me out, that if all the oceans were seen.
That's, yeah, that's the love of God, Jacob, right? The love of God.
That's what it is. Yeah. I thought about that when with this verse 25.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I miss you, has the, where every man is scribe by trade, and let me see if every man were
oceans,
and some of the oceans being ink.
Could we
with ink? That's right.
And where the skies of parchment made, where every stock on earth a till, and every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could this world contain the whole, though stretched from
side to side. There you go, Jacob. That's the verse. That's the hymn. She's read it. Tammy's read it. Yes, it's in the songbook. But what number, Tammy?
130.
Hymn 130.
After that, I have nothing else to say.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Bill, some thoughts you have about chapter 21 or the whole book of John?
Well, actually, the whole book of John, my favorite, though, is the first chapter. But in this chapter, my two favorite verses were 22 and 23, because it's none of our business when the Lord returns.
Yes, that's right.
He has his own plan.
He does.
And naturally, the question pops up in the mind, but we've got to remember it's in his hand, and he'll return when he returns.
That's right, he will. He will. Mm-hmm. That's right. And some thoughts you have about John, the Gospel of John, or just chapter 21, the whole Gospel of John, 21 chapters, or just chapter 21?
Well,
favorite book from the whole Bible, from the whole Gospel of John.
I
What's
your favorite verse from the whole Gospel of John?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I did read it in a Christian program years ago, but it was a long time ago.
What's the most popular verse in the Gospel of John?
I can't.
Even people
don't. How about John 3:16? For God loved the world.
That's right. That's right.
Right. John 3:16. Right.
Now that since things perhaps all this.
I know.
Yeah, the cobwebs are.
Yeah, well, it's not.
You know, you should perhaps consider reading it again.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
You know, read it again. That way.
They got some good verses in there. It really does.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Chapter again.
That's right. There it is. The Gospel of John. That's good.
Can you see?
Joanne, some thoughts you have about John 21 or the whole Gospel?
I never really thought about this until, I know John 3:16,
yes,
but I didn't think about this verse 25 until you just brought it up.
Yes.
And I think of all the wonderful things that Jesus has done for me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. The mom's about to have a chapter 21 or perhaps the whole book.
Well, here in 21, Jesus told Peter how he was going to suffer and die a horrible death.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as soon as he told me to follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, and then did, I don't know, was he among this group when Jesus first called his disciples to the apostles to follow me? And he said,
yes.
Follow me.
Mm-hmm. He did.
And I just was trying to remember that, and then I was trying to remember what if there was any other time he said, follow me. But I don't know, I just got thought.
Right, that's good. Mm-hmm.
We used to, when I was younger, I hear my loving Savior say, follow me, all these different songs. Where he leads me, I will follow.
Mm-hmm.
All those songs we used to sing.
Yes.
When I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And when people loved. When a preacher or a specialist, evangelist, would preach about serving the Lord, giving your life to the
right.
Lord to you,
mm-hmm.
they would sing the song about following me.
Okay.
So, we don't do that here too much. But
well, when it comes up in the hymn book, we do.
Yeah.
We have a certain... When it comes across in the hymn book, we do.
Right.
It's not that we're ignoring it. We start at the beginning and then we go work our way to the end. And so as we come across those particular hymns, we do sing it. Now there are times when people can have that option of requesting the hymn if they want to, as long as it's a good sound hymn that is doctrinally pure in content and it's biblical. We can sing those hymns. There are some hymns that aren't doctrinally pure in content that are CCM light, so to speak, and we don't want to sing hymns that are CCM light, so to speak.
What's
that? CCM heavy and CCM light. And so we want to avoid the hymns that are CCM light because in time, once you have developed an inoculation to CCM light, then you step up to CCM heavy. So I'm sorry to continue on. If you want to request, anytime you want to request any of the hymns about follow me, I will follow on. As long as it's biblically doctrinally pure in content, we can sing it.
Page 238 is Follow, I Will Follow Thee. That was the first solo I ever sang.
238. Okay.
But that's the only one.
At Grayton Road?
No, that was in LaGrange.
LaGrange.
I was 13.
Okay.
I remember that real
well. Well, we should sing it next Sunday. Next time you're scheduled. When do you schedule next? This Sunday or?
Sunday.
Yes. And it would be fitting perfectly with the missions theme.
Yeah.
I mean, not that we're having a missions theme, but we're having...
I thought maybe the Bennets would sing.
Okay, well, maybe the Bennets are scheduled to sing.
They're not scheduled, I'm scheduled.
Okay, all right.
If they want to sing, they can we can make room for them and you, can't we?
Yeah, I guess so. That is good. I didn't know what to sing. I just realized that's not as a singing, because I'm deaf. And I didn't know what to sing, so maybe I should sing that one.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you brought it up. Tammy, thoughts you have about John 21 or the entire Gospel of John?
Well, the whole Gospel has been a blessing. It's my favorite of all the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess John 21, it seems like Peter, he's got some issues that he didn't really want to deal with.
you know, like with the betrayal and why he betrayed the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then he seemed like he was always looking at John and, oh, well, what's John going to do? And how about John? You know, but he wasn't focused on his own life. He was so concerned about apparently John. And it seems like he had a little bit of jealousy, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It seems
know.
That way, yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting, though, that, you know, all those times when he asked him, the Lord asked him, you know, if he loved him, you know, he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep.
Right.
He was the one that was going to be the leader of the early, very early church, you know, the very beginning.
Yes.
You know, he was going to be the outspoken one. John really wasn't. He didn't have the same type of personality that was so outspoken and had that type of...
Right.
I mean, when we think of the first few chapters of Acts, because we've been looking at Acts on verses,
mm-hmm.
it seems like Peter was always the spokesman.
Yeah. Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so it seems like the Lord was preparing for that. Because he was the spokesman, I think he had the Lord... You know, I mean, he had a different type of death that he was going to endure.
Mm-hmm.
And John was given the responsibility of caring for the Lord Jesus' mother. And if he would have died early, no one would have taken care of him. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I should say no one, but the point was the Lord wanted him to take care of him.
Yes,
so
that's right.
He wouldn't have been able to.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Hi, Jacob, go ahead.
I think John went through more persecution living so long, and, you know, that, I don't know, I'm thinking that an early death for a lot of these disciples was a lot better than, you know, being put on a prison island. But, you know, but look at all the powerful books John wrote, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And it's best to maybe not say a whole lot, just, you know, lean on the Lord more.
Yes, that's right.
This was the disciple that Jesus loved.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but think about, you know, verse chapter 14, you know, the first tenth of the rapture, but also, you know, his coming and the whole totality of it. I mean, Jesus spoke of it through all the Gospels, but that's the one that he kind of linked to the most famous, you know,
mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. He did. That's correct. Anna, some thoughts you have about chapter 21? Or the whole book. Okay, good.
There are many thoughts.
Okay, share one of the many thoughts. Or share.
I thought it was interesting that it said great fish.
Yes.
And they were big fish. Mm-hmm. They weren't just little fish. They were big fish.
That's yeah, mega. Great fish. Very good. Very good observation. Great fish.
Great fishes. So they weren't just little fish.
Very good close reading. Very good close reading.
Which seems to be more relevant than the exact number.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that was why.
Yes, the big fish.
That's why it was relevant that the net didn't break.
Yes.
Because they were tiny, miniature, 153 fish. Then you wouldn't expect the net to break. They were great
yes.
fish that 153 of them. So
they weren't minnows. And they were great fish.
There were about 50 minnows in that one.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead.
I could, Tammy was saying about jealousy. I can believe that because jealousy has been going on ever since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
That's why Cain killed Abel.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
So I know, I understand. So you mm-hmm. might have a point there.
Yes, that's
it's
right.
It's been going on since the first.
It has. It has been going on from since the beginning.
Yes, sir.
Since the beginning. That's correct. That's correct. Uh huh. Yep. Since the beginning.
And it's still going on.
Yep, it is. It is. Mm-hmm. More thoughts? Anyone have any more thoughts or observations about chapter 21 or the entire gospel? So we've completed another book. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. So.
Thank you very much, Pastor Dan.
Yes, great. Amen. Glad. Praise the Lord, Jacob. Bill, close the prayer, please.
Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us this Bible so that we can study your word and know exactly what really happened. We know how the universe was created. We know how our society developed over the centuries. We know that we have one true Savior. who has rescued all of us. And for this, we can never say thank you enough. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We enjoyed that.
Okay.